It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Wow, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 21st day of September 2023. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday at the Horn. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza. That is the Horn chat room, the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. And whatever time it happens to be when you're listening to the podcast. But if you're listening live, let me invite you to pop into the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany and be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be Anatole and Ralphs and Squeaky, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon. How is the bread, Roger? Want to know about the fresh-baked bread. Huh. Bread. God. Fresh-baked bread with that wonderful butter I'm getting from Greenbrier Creamery. Mercy sakes alive. Yeah. Don't get me started. Hi, I'm Robin. And every program here at the Horn, oh, by the way, please, if you're listening to the podcast, like and subscribe. Like every episode. Hit that subscribe button. And tell the algorithms how much you enjoy the program. The algorithms like that, I suppose. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, as a consequence, we say thank you to David in Oregon, and thanks to an anonymous friend who kept us down below the $2,000 mark. Thank you so much. Thank you to Tracy, the lady cab driver in L.A. Thank you to Harold, the president and CEO of Sochtris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you all so very much for helping to keep this little program going. And it's been some tough sledding. So our fundraising goal sits at $1,965, but we have a challenge on the table, courtesy of Cat in Ohio. The $100 Stop Threats to Public Servants Challenge. They really need to work harder, Cat says, to hunt down these people to stop this crap. This should be high priority. I agree wholeheartedly, and yet here we are. And that raises the issue of threats, great and small. Which I suspect we will get into as the program proceeds this evening. I guess we need a bit of an update, as it were, on the great collapse of civility occasioned by Pennsylvania Senate Democrat John Fetterman, a folk hero. Remember, he said, if I start vaping in theaters and grabbing the hog, they'll make me a folk hero, talking about the maggots. He's not wrong. But, yes, an update. Gracious sakes. Joe to the mansion born. Schmuck extraordinaire. Thank you to Frank, who messaged me and said, get a load of this. He's focusing on the hot button issues of the time. Senator Joe Manchin. Joe to the Manchin born, the coal broker. Remember him? He's circulating a Senate resolution to reverse Chuck Schumer's decision to loosen Senate dress code. The Hill says it has bipartisan support and could be filed as soon as today. Oh, God. You know, it's hard for me to really, even as a professional user of words, it's hard for me, it is difficult for me to put into words the breadth and depth of my loathing of Joe Manchin. He is a blot on the history of this poor, tormented state that I call home and which I love dearly. He is an elitist snob with nothing to feel either elitist or snobbish about. He lives on a yacht. Docked in, Anacostia? Or, you know, somewhere on the, maybe in the Potomac? He flaunts his wealth. And has the unmitigated gall to pretend that he gives a rat's ass about the Senate of the United States, in which he has, he doesn't even have a quarter of the time in there that his predecessor, Senator Robert Byrd, had. And I'll bet you, if you look around somewhere, Joe to the Manchin born has probably taken Senator Byrd's name in vain. Senator Byrd, who was far more conservative than I, and did some problematic things in the course of his life, but had the grace to repent for them. I just kind of had to start with that. Because I find him so odious, so hypocritical. Because he makes a buck off of it, Joe Manchin has turned a blind eye for decades to the torture and torment and the poisoning and killing of West Virginians through mountaintop removal. But dear God, the dignity of the Senate will collapse if John Fetterman doesn't have to go suit shopping for, you know, for what even, what size? I mean, what, a 62 extra long? I mean, at the height of my size, I was a 52 long. 6'2" and 240 pounds. And not a lot of that gut. And he, even that, whether it was Joseph A. Bank or the Men's Warehouse, or those were not easy to find. But somehow or another, John Fetterman is a threat to democracy. It's infuriating. Joe Manchin, meanwhile, was central to the immiseration of tens of millions of American children who had finally risen out of poverty and out of hunger until he stomped them and sent them back in. What is there to respect in that? Sorry, I'm a little... I'm just angry. Ralph says, John Fetterman wore shorts today. Good for him. You know why Joe Manchin won't wear shorts? Because his legs are whiter than mine and look like the underbelly of a dead fish. It has nothing to do with decorum. Neither physically nor mentally nor ethically is Joe Manchin half the man John Fetterman is. Not by a long shot. Stephen New York says, dress code. I've had this on my mind. Has anyone actually said exactly what this loosened dress code actually means? No. I mean, it means that, I guess it means that John Fetterman can wear a sweatshirt. Or maybe John Fetterman doesn't have to wear a tie.
Coats and ties for men. Dresses or skirts and slacks and blouses with sleeves for the little lady folk.
Yeah, because, you know, the Republican Party is the repository of dignitas in this country. The Republican Party, Republican senators, who encouraged and connived and colluded and conspired to see the Constitution of the United States overturned in this country. Oh, my God, fuck all of them with a dried-out saguaro cactus. So we've got that. I mean, and you know, it's probably not worth the angst that I've put into it, but I just despise the hypocrisy because the waves of the hypocrisy are out there bending light waves coming from the sun that's so thick from these repulsive hypocrites. There you go, Steve. That's a cowbell, but not a funny one. Suits and ties for men and thoughts and prayers for dead children. I hate to say it, but you pretty much got the tenor of it, Steve. You know, what is it? I mean, it's not Wednesday anymore or anything, but what does it say in that book that they worship? That they can swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat? I would far rather have 100 members of the Senate dressed like John Fetterman who are actually worried about hungry children going to bed with rumbling bellies at night. 100 senators like John Fetterman who are willing to actually work to make sure that when mommy and daddy, or daddy and daddy, or mommy and mommy send their precious child off to school in the morning, that they've got a reasonable expectation that they will come home to them alive and not in pieces in a bag.
No, but decorum.
No, to hell with them. To hell with them. And it's not just that, you see. I have a creeping horror that we are about to nationally embarrass ourselves and show ourselves as a country to be the worst kind of Judas. You see, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was in Washington today. He had requested the ability to address a joint session of Congress about the existential fight of his country for their own sovereignty, their own soil. And the weaker Speaker of the House, Kevers McCarthy, Squeaker of the Mouse, Cave In McCarthy. Hi, Sylvie. Said no, that the House was just too busy, you know, trying to fuck over the government. And that he, the Squeaker of the House, Cave In McCarthy, I think that's going to stick, Sylvie. There just wasn't time for the leader of a beleaguered democracy to be able to speak to a joint session. Disgusting. Thought exercise. Just for kicks, Matt in San Francisco says, do you think if Elon Musk was able to buy his way into the Senate and wanted to wear shorts and a hoodie, would the Republicans be so bothered? I imagine they would all show up in shorts and a hoodie, claiming a new day has arrived in the most deliberative body in the entire world. Oh, I think you're entirely correct, Matt. And Curtsy and Kirsten Cinema. She'd show up in booty shorts and a halter. And that would be fine. The Senate would not continue. That's the thing. The Senate would not stop deliberating. You think for a minute that Clanny Oakley wouldn't love to wear that dress she wore to the theater in Denver, that she wouldn't love to wear that and show off her kidneys on the floor of the House? Sure she would. So on the Senate side today, Volodymyr Zelensky had a meeting with the Senate leadership and an all-senators meeting, which a number of the Catiline Maggot Caucus decided not to attend because they want to cut him adrift. They want to see their owner, Vlad Putin, roll all over Ukraine and take it and erase the Ukrainian people from the planet. Because they're still butthurt over the fact that Nitwit Nero wasn't able to shake Zelensky down. And that he let the cat out of the bag about the dirty business that Julius Geiser was into. That extortion and bribery scheme.
Nice little country you've got there. Be ashamed if something happened to it.
Last December, he addressed a joint session of Congress. But now, the Republicans are willing to hang him out to dry. And absolutely tarnish, perhaps forever, the reputation of this once great nation. The Speaker of the House says he doesn't want to put $24 billion of aid to Ukraine in a funding package to avert the shutdown. Kevin McCarthy said,
I think a lot of this doubt lies on President Biden. He hasn't made the case to the American public. What is victory? What does it take to be able to win? But I believe when we're looking at where we're going right now, Zelensky has answered a lot of questions for me.
Oh, that's the other thing. The tactical geniuses of the Republican Party, particularly the Catalines in the Senate, say that they want to know more, and they want to have more of a say in the strategy of how Zelensky goes about defending his country against a rapacious mongrel army eager to rip them limb from limb. Why not let the people who are experts in that do it? Oh, no, but Tommy the Tuber's daddy was in World War II. Not winning the medals that Tommy the Tuber said he won. And so, yeah, he knows more about... but, you know, this business about what does... Kevers said, what is victory? What does it take to be able to win? You know what? We're pretty smart here. And we're also pretty much pro-peace. But what is victory? Victory is when every last Russian boot is off of Ukrainian soil as it was established by treaty in the first decade of this century. Out of Crimea, out of Sevastopol, out of Luhansk, out of Donetsk. No Russians on Ukrainian soil. And kill them until they learn their lesson. Repel the invader. I guess the maggots are so stupid that they don't understand that Ukrainians and Russians are not the same people, that Ukrainian and Russian is not the same language. What does it take to be able to win? It takes removing the brakes from Volodymyr Zelensky and the Ukrainian military and giving them every last thing they need to fight a fascist government. And maybe that's part of the messaging that we're missing out on. Russia is a fascist empire. There's nothing left. There is nothing of Western liberalism to them. It is an autocratic dictatorship run by a punk thug bully and thief. It's exactly what he was when he was a colonel in the KGB. And as the Soviet Union fell apart, he stole everything in East Germany that wasn't nailed down. But nonetheless, 28 members of the House and Senate, all of them maggots, including Jerk Deluxe Vance, who put the letter up. At a classified briefing over Ukraine, it became clear that America is being asked to fund an indefinite conflict with unlimited resources. Enough is enough. To these and future requests, my colleagues and I say no. No to democracy. No to freedom. No to peace. Because make no mistake, if these 28 maggots get their way, there will be no more Ukraine. The 28 maggots said in a letter to Shalonda Young, director of the Office of Management and Budget, "We are in receipt of your August 10th, 2023 request for additional supplemental appropriations in which you ask Congress to provide another $24 billion in security, economic, and humanitarian assistance related to the war in Ukraine. Winter is coming, I will add. And that is why the Kingdom of Rus is stepping up its attacks on critical infrastructure." The maggots go on and say, "Since Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine, the United States has appropriated $114 billion in supplemental funding for Ukraine and countries impacted by the situation in Ukraine. However, this amount does not reflect the full picture, which includes transferred and reprogrammed funds. The administration has requested additional authority to transfer and reprogram funds in all five of its supplemental requests. The vast majority of Congress remains unaware of how much the United States has spent to date in total on this conflict, information which is necessary for Congress to prudently exercise its appropriations power. It is difficult to envision a benign explanation for this lack of clarity." Well, if it's difficult, the difficulty lies in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ears of these maggots and pass for brains. "The Department of Defense's recent $6.2 billion accounting error in Ukraine presidential drawdown authorities further underscores the need for greater transparency from the administration." What more do they want from the Ukrainian people? They are willing to die in their own fight. They are willing to use cluster munitions on their own soil to repel the Russian monsters, the animals. Some of them straight up crooks and thugs from the bowels of Russian prisons. And under the guise of democracy, these whiny pricks will betray them. Can anybody find a rooster to crow three times? Your request cites President Biden's... How nice of them to call him President Biden. Progress. Take your little victories where you find them. President Biden's pledge that we will stand with Ukraine as it defends its sovereignty for as long as it takes. Andrew Desiderio of Punch Bowl News has received a background quote from a senior administration official stating the White House won't be bashful about going back to the Congress beyond the first quarter of next year. He stated the official stresses this funding request is only for quarter one. Yeah, wars are expensive, kids. Wars are expensive, you maggot Judases. How's the counteroffensive going? Well, as President Zelensky pointed out, it's time for Russia to remove the last of their leaky navy, because their two primary battle cruisers in the Black Sea, I think one was decommissioned in a moving underwater ceremony, and another one is shipping water badly, and that is because of the determination of the Ukrainians to rid Russian pirates from the Black Sea.
Are the Ukrainians any closer to victory than they were 6 months ago? What is our strategy and what is the president's exit plan?
Well, the president's not there, you disloyal scum. What did Dante say, that the lowest circle of hell, the ninth circle of hell, is reserved for the betrayers? By the time we have finally dealt with all of these maggots, they will have to undergo a renewal plan for the Ninth Circuit. They will betray their country, they will betray democracy, they will betray humanity. These maggots close saying,
"It would be an absurd abdication of congressional responsibility to grant this request without knowing the answers to these questions. For these reasons, and certainly until we receive answers to the questions above and for others forthcoming, we oppose the additional expenditure for war in Ukraine included in your request."
They wrote this on letterhead of the Congress of the United States, as if these 28 somehow represent a majority opinion, instead of the backbench babbling that it clearly is. The signatories, just so that we can know the names of the traitors: Jerk Deluxe Vance, who was actually, allegedly, a member of the United States Marine Corps; Chip Roy of Syphilis Springs, Texas; Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head; constitutional scholar Mike Lee of Utah; Ava's grandnephew, Mike Brown; Roger Marshall of Kansas; Tommy the Tuber; Roger Williams; Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert; Clay Higgins, the punk-ass cop who made it to Congress by beating the hell out of people; Dan Bishop; Harriet Hageman from Montana, or from Wyoming, Stan; Bill Posey; Bob, the ironically named Good of Old Virginia; Warren Davidson; Eli Crane. Oh, there she is. Ana Paula Laguna. I can't see her name without... Never mind. Jeff Duncan. Beth Van Dyne. W. Gregory Stoiby. Josh Breckin, Lance Gooden. Oh, really? We've got a guy named Lance in the Congress. Andy Ogle's Little Children. Andy Ogle's. Mary E. Miller. Andy Biggs. Big Time Maggot. Byron Donalds. Token black person. Russell Fry from Florida. Russell Fry. And Michael Cloud. And may their names be enshrined forever. For the shame. The traitorous shame that they bring upon themselves with that letter. Oh, and responding to Cat's challenge, Ralph's just got us started kicking in $26 for Zelensky. That's what my contribution is for, and to piss off Kevin McCarthy. Thank you, Ralph's. So there's $74 to go on Cat's challenge, and that would get it, if it's met, that would get us down to some $17.65. And there are, getting perilously close with a number of bills. We need to bring that down substantially. Going back to President Zelensky, Steve in New York says maybe if he wore a suit and tie, he could address the Senate or a joint session of the House. Yeah. Or maybe if John Fetterman did, they'd let Zelensky. I don't know what passes for their mind works. And by the way, after he got his ass handed to him again today, Kevin McCarthy adjourned the House with no deal to stop the shutdown. Stephen New York adding, message we're missing out on. I disagree. The message is crystal clear. The GOP is pro-fascist. And maybe it's time to hit them harder and harder and harder with it. Maybe it's I don't even know how you would do this. A national conversation to show what these maggots have actually done and ask people in their districts, is this what you really voted for them to do? What if your grandmother was in Ukraine and the Russian animals were on her doorstep? What if it was someone whom you loved in Bakhmut? Would it make a difference then? And of course, of all those names that I just read, I don't know how many of them that Vlad Putin has kompromat on. Whether it's drugs or booze or sex with little boys or little girls. Jerk Deluxe said that Zelensky's visit and the all-senators meeting was a farce.
I think that the entire thing is a bit of a farce. Zelensky comes and speaks to us for 45 minutes. I didn't attend because we were given guidance this morning that we wouldn't likely be given the opportunity to ask a question. So what is the purpose of him coming here if not to allow the American people's elected representatives to ask him questions?
Maybe to be informed of the situation on the ground. of where the war stands, the gravity, the ongoing gravity of the threat.
But J.D. Vance,
well, you know, he was groomed at Yale by the Tiger Mom, so he knows more than Volodymyr Zelensky. Little punk. And like I said, Kevin McCarthy said,
"We don't have the time for a joint session. He's already provided a joint. We always already provided a joint session."
On the other hand, Representative Michael McCaul from Texas, chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, said there was universal support for Ukraine at the meeting. To his credit, he has been unwavering in his support. But then he had the unmitigated gall to say that if Republicans, if maggots, are flagging in their support for Ukraine, that it's somehow the White House's fault. And this harkens back, because, you know, history is a thing, this harkens back to when the multimillionaire for-profit media would bleat and groan about how Barack Obama, that tan-suited president, wasn't spending enough time aw shucksin' and drinking beer on the golf course with John Boehner. McCaul said this war of attrition is not going to win. You've got to give them everything they need or get out. It's been a slow walk, and this thing has been mismanaged, and that's why they're losing support from my side, because they don't want to support a losing effort. I don't want to support a losing effort. Bust my buttons. When that's exactly what they're doing when they say that they'll refuse the support. Do these badass, butch, manly men of masculinity Republicans want to commit American troops? Is that what they want? Fuck no. They're chicken shits. They don't want to fight a war against people who are white. Heaven forfend. The American military is there as far as Republicans are concerned. The American military exists to keep the brown people in their places. And we have to support them through their brutal winter. And they are making progress. They've breached the Russian lines in the southeast, and that is huge. They did it with armor and put the Russians to flight. And like I said, they have made the Russian Navy an absolute embarrassment. That at least at present cannot menace the Black Sea ports of Ukraine. And Vlad Putin wants to starve a suffering world as a means of arm twisting them into not supporting Ukraine. And the question, of course, arises, what does Ukraine have that Putin wants? Well, in the soil underneath all those sunflowers, there's a lot of natural gas. and arguably Ukraine could weaken Russia's chokehold on Western Europe by developing it. And that's what Burisma was all about. Now, I oppose fracking. I oppose continuing to heat up this cooking planet to the point that it can no longer support human life. But here we are. And we're finding out what it means for parts of the planet to become unlivable. No word on that. Emilio asked, does Ana Paula Laguna still have the stones with her? No. They took the stones off of the Lost in Paradise. And remember, they took it to a pyramid in Egypt. David the Blind, picking up pennies to step over bodies. There was the time when it was a bipartisan, given that when a country was fighting for its very survival, the American people would stand behind it, especially when dealing with Russians. Here's a clue, GOP. Ukrainians are not Russian. They're good, democracy-loving people. They're fighting a force that is far bigger than they are for themselves, and they're not asking American service personnel to come in and save them. They're doing all the fucking fighting on their own. But the maggots in the Senate and the House would hang them out to dry like the good little Nazis they are. So pissed off at them right now. Signed, your buddy Dave in the Blind. It is sickening to contemplate a betrayal of the magnitude that these maggots want to perpetrate. I wish I lived in a country where what they're doing would result in them being afraid to go out in public for fear of being shamed and shunned. Not harmed. Maybe some rotten fruit, a few well-aimed rotten eggs, the occasional shoe. But down in Dribblin' Dick, Texas, Chip Roy's constituents, hoo-wee! They love it when he acts all rough and tough about letting a marauding fascist horde overrun an innocent democracy. Because let's not forget, Ukraine never did a damn thing to Russia. Not a thing. All they did was exist. And the mere existence, the existence of Ukraine, infuriated that mad dictator in Moscow. Well, I tell you, and it's even more complicated because there's some ugliness going on between Poland and Ukraine because of something that Zelensky said. They said they're going to stop sending arms to Kyiv, Poland did. The general election is coming in Poland. This is how democracies lose to autocratic regimes. Poland has been verging ever rightward for years. That's why Julius Geyser visited early in his presidency, where they waved Confederate flags before him. Mateusz Morawiecki, the Prime Minister of Poland, Now, he's not the guy that Nikki Haley thought she was talking to when she was actually talking to the Moscow Morning Zoo crew of 98.8, the Vulgar Boatman. Now, he said, we no longer transfer weapons to Ukraine because we are now arming Poland. Keeping Ukraine thoroughly armed and able to drive Russia out of their land isn't the beginning of World War III, like so many of these damned fools say it is. It is how to hold it off and keep it back. Because people close to Ivan the Terrible, Mad Vlad, say that yes, in fact, Poland is next, Lithuania is next, Latvia is next. Because there is a deep and abiding sense of shame at the fact that the Soviet Union and all that it controlled fell to pieces. And it just makes a knot in my stomach to think of turning our backs on them. And there are people from other countries who have gone and fought alongside them in Ukraine. And the fighting is hard. It is brutal. And it's bloody. Arnold asks, can we stop funding this shit, though, really? No, we can't. Not if we don't want World War III. Russia has to be defeated and shown that it cannot do what it does. You give in to Russia here, and people like my dear friend, our dear friend Horst in Taiwan, know what will be next. It was just days ago that China sent over 100 warplanes toward Taiwan in a deliberately provocative act. No, we can't stop funding this unless we want to, unless we want to show the entire world that the United States can be pushed around by fascist dictatorships anywhere on the planet, and that whatever a fascist dictatorship wants, they can take. The Poles, the Latvians, the Lithuanians, the Estonians, the Finns, the Swedes, all know what comes next. Hell, a little hillbilly woman in West Virginia knows what comes next. Because I understand history. And where it doesn't repeat, it damn sure rhymes. Does the word Lebensraum hold any meaning? Oh, we just need a little more room. Just need a little more room. Because you see, what would happen after the fall of Ukraine would be a genocide. And having failed to stop Russia in Ukraine, we could do nothing but sit by and watch the slaughter of Ukrainian people. And then the repopulation with of Ukraine with ethnic Russians. It is that dire. And I don't want that blood on mine or my country's hands. And it will be if we quit funding them. It's that simple. and what passes for democracy may end in Poland. Poland does say that they will continue to allow its bases to be used for training purposes and resupply purposes. It's a mess. The Russian blockade of their ports prevented grain exports. The European Commission has tried to ease some of it by creating what are called solidarity lanes to make sure that grain exports can get out. They've temporarily eliminated all duties and all quotas on Ukrainian exports, and grain has flowed onto gone on to the continent. Polish farmers are pissed off about that because, well, it affected their pocketbooks. And at the UN on Wednesday, Zelensky had some rather pointed remarks. Poland has taken in 1.5 million Ukrainian refugees. 15 million have crossed the Polish frontier to flee the war. The present ruling party in Poland, the Law and Justice Party, are facing a vote on October 15th, and they may lose their parliamentary majority. And there is already a profoundly strong right wing in Poland. The Law and Justice Party is losing votes to the Confederation Party. And they've been out there bleating and braying against Poland's participation in pushing back against the fascist invasion of Ukraine. And if this coalition falls apart, the world afterward will be in grievous danger. And big autocratic nations will feel free to crush smaller nations, and we will be back to the Melian dialogue. In which it was said over 2,000 years ago that great nations do what they must, and small nations great nations do what they wish, and small nations do what they must. We have been here before. Ukraine, Matt in San Francisco says, if all else fails, we can sell drugs to raise the money to buy the weapons they need. We can keep it on the down low. Nancy probably has the notes saved somewhere. Dark comedy indeed, Matt. Darlene in Connecticut as to Judge or John Fetterman. Says, I hope John Fetterman remains strong and maintains his high-level humor about dress code gate. My concern is that maggots and so-called Republicans in both chambers, there aren't really any left in Congress anyway, drool over brutalizing and pushing vulnerable individuals such as Hunter Biden, who is a recovering drug abuser, and Fetterman, who's recovering from a stroke and suffers from severe depression, to, you know, put a gun to his head and pull the trigger. It is a gross, brutal, and disgusting game these maggots play. Yeah, I myself have been told by the kind of people you would expect to say this thing. There's a statistic out there that says that 40% of people like me at least contemplate suicide. Now, the right-wing assholes think that means that 40% of people like me attempt suicide. No. But I've been told I should go in 40% myself. Because it is a gross, brutal, and disgusting game they play. Darlene continues and says, and maggots remain just so goddamned awful of humor. I guess Susan Collins was attempting to be funny with a bikini remark. What a nauseating image that puts in one's head. Stuff with nightmares. Shudder. Please, we beg of you, don't ever do it, Susie. Don't ever do it. By the way, Zelensky raised an excellent, though technical, but viable point. Russia is not a legit member of the UN. It was the USSR that was allowed to take a seat at the UN and have a vote. The Soviet Union no longer exists. Once it dissolved, it should have dissolved from the UN. Talk about capital gains. Yeah, well, like I said, Vladimir Putin stole everything that wasn't nailed down. And that includes stealing a seat on the UN Security Council. They don't have any business there. But, you know, China would still be there to do their bidding and, you know, cast their vetoes. Thank you, Barbara. Barbara, thank you so much. We are down to, let's see, 25 bucks to go on Cat's challenge this evening. The Stop Threats to Public Servants challenge. $25 more, and we will be Mirabile Dictu. We will be down to 1765, and hopefully can make some further progress so I can get some bills paid when the weekend comes. Be great if we weren't at $2,000 for Friday on the front porch tomorrow. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so much, and thank you again, Kat, for making the challenge. I hear that, and I don't buy it, Randy. Randy Radar said Biden poked the bear on September 1st, 2021, when in a White House document he semi-admitted Ukraine to NATO, prompting the full-scale Russian invasion because Putin was feeling surrounded. Putin's paranoia and fascist autocrats are often deeply paranoid is not the fault of anyone but Putin's own paranoid brain. And President Biden did not have the power to admit or semi-admit Ukraine to NATO. That is a decision for the entire alliance to make. And now a couple of countries have suddenly decided that they object to Sweden joining NATO because of some protests against religious fundamentalism in Sweden. You know, Quran burning. And so that poses a danger. I'm pretty sure it was Hungary that was one of the objectors. You know, another country run by a vile little fascist autocrat. Right? But we have crossed into the second hour of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. And someone is on the stress line. Let's find out who. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, it's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Oh, minus frogs here, as you say.
Split four ways and split four ways and swept back.
Yeah, it's a nice sunny dusk, or pre-dusk here, driving here in Western Mass, home from work. Had a block party going on where I was working today at Amherst, and that was a lot of fun. I mean, I had to drive around it a lot, but it's just nice to see people out having fun, you know, still. But, you know, I was just calling about, you know, the Ukraine funding thing, and you know, people in Poland that were waving the Confederate flags, and all yeah. these right-wing people, don't they have any sense of history, like what happened to their grandparents and great-grandparents, what they had to go through?
Not really, Kevin, because see, that's the whole thing. The party in power right now is already right-wing. As Fabio pointed out in an email, the party opposing them, the Confederation Party, is even nastier, or, I don't know, Nazier.
So it's a choice of, wow.
Yeah, it's a choice of bad and awful.
I didn't know it was like that.
Or
Holy
let's
shit.
Say awful and god-awful.
You know, has there any, I mean, I haven't really been following it, but has there been any outcry from the Polish-American community about, you know, that are democracy-loving? Because you just had Solidarnosc, what, not too long ago. I mean,
yeah,
what happened
to all those? I mean, that was the 80s, and we liked that because it led to the, it was a major step in the collapse of the Soviet Union. But then, then of course, Lech Walesa turned out to be a right winger in his own right, and it was all driven.
That's right, yeah.
It was all driven with support from Pope JP II, who himself had his own ugly right wing streak, and that's why.
Yep.
Benny the Rat, who was literally in the Hitler Youth during the Second World War, became the Pope after JP II shuffled off this mortal coil. And it's a lot of Pope Frank's work, to the extent that he's done it, has been trying to undo some of the more fascist tendencies that JP II and Benny the Rat baked into the church leadership.
Well, I'll tell you what, if anything, it's coming to a head. It's coming to a head, boy, I'll tell you. I mean, within these next 2 years, we're going to find out which way this world's going to go. Because we're just about maxed out.
Well, this has the potential to be a perfect storm. We need to do what we can to end this shit in Ukraine as quickly as we can, you know, before what, 2029, 2030, when we pass, I mean, look, I haven't said a lot about it, Kevin, but Jesus Christ, the flooding in Libya? There are reports out now that say, yeah, that would not have been that way were it not for climate change.
Wow.
The same with the unimaginable flooding in Greece. And it's going to continue.
Greece?
Yeah.
There's flooding in Greece, too?
Oh, God, there was horrific flooding in Greece earlier in the summer.
Oh, earlier in the summer. I remember that. Okay. Yeah, anywhere near the coastlines, you're in this world. I mean, we had a pretty good summer. You guys did in West Virginia. We did too. I mean, we had a normal summer. You know what I mean? For the most part.
Yeah, it was a little coolish, but it was odd compared to the rest of the country.
Never hit 100. A lot of rain. Not good for the tomatoes. But, what's next year going to bring? You know what I mean? I mean, they had that heat dome in the run up in British Columbia. That's more north than where you are or I am, so.
Yeah. And, of course, my friends down along the Gulf Coast absolutely baked. Yeah, 114, 115 degrees, and even down there, that was unheard of.
Yeah.
And
you can't air condition your way out of it.
No, you can't. And and for an antiquated coal-fried grid, it ain't good. But I wanted to point out. I did want to point out one other thing, Kevin, in regard to Ukraine. I didn't realize part of the reason that they were not eager but willing to at least use cluster bombs, because it's what we had on their own soil, is because the Russians have already mined an area of Ukraine. I don't think we as Americans have a fully formed idea of just how big Ukraine is. They are a small country compared to Mother Russia, but they are a big country. And there is an area of Ukraine the size of Florida that is completely landmined.
That's crazy. That is absolutely.
And that's
crazy.
Literally going to be a generation to clean up.
Oh, at least. I mean, you could say what you want about the beginning of the war, how we dragged our feet and all that, and that's true. Probably should have committed more planes, better weaponry at the beginning, and maybe they wouldn't have had the time to mine all that stuff. Could have gotten to the negotiating table. He wouldn't have got. I he didn't get to negotiate. Putin, that.
Right. You can't. How does it ever work if you try to negotiate with a junkyard dog?
Exactly. What they need, ultimately, obviously, the best thing that happened would be taken out. And, it could still happen, But then again, who are you going to have behind him? You could have somebody worse, But Navalny's still alive, and I think that's only because, for political reasons, right, he doesn't want to go too overboard by taking him out right now, have the whole country freak out, right? So, people are like St. Petersburg and stuff like that are still around that, if they breached it, but it's going to be so tough. You have to have cluster bomb bans.
Well, you can't halfway defend your country. And one of the things, other countries have sent F-16 fighter aircraft and things like that. The German Leopard tanks, we've sent Abrams, but those things take time to train up on. And we are just now getting to the point where there's a reasonable expectation that Ukrainian military will be properly trained on these things. And now with that being where we are, meaning that they've got an opportunity to use them to full effect, suddenly you've got the since when are the Republicans a fucking pacifist party, you know, Kevin? But now the pacifists are, oh no, we got to stop this now. I really do. I feel like I'm down a rabbit. I'm down a rabbit hole, Kevin, because back in 2004, when a lot of us were hollering from the rooftops that Iraq and Afghanistan were horrid mistakes that had no way to, there was no way to win, and we said, and we kept saying, get out. And the Republican response right. back then of the loyal Bushies was,
yeah, but if we get out, what about the American service personnel who's done been killed? Their deaths will all been in vain.
Yeah, you know, logic is not their strong suit. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. When Bush announced that we were going to invade Iraq, and he told the Iraqi people to stand down, if you're following orders, we don't care. Basically, you know, get the fuck out of the way. I was like, who the fuck does he think he is? Who the fuck is he to tell? I'm sorry. Who the hell is he to tell?
You're okay.
Another nation's people that we're going to come into your country and fuck you up if you don't listen to what we do. I mean, that's not American to me. That I was ashamed. I was like, this smells bad. And look what happened. You know? I mean, I don't know. I'm going back here, 2003, so, but.
20 years ago. Kind of hard to fathom, isn't it?
Yeah, Colin Powell knew he was, he probably just didn't want to, he wanted to have his retirement and go out without, you know, I'm sure he could have. He knew it was bullshit, but he played along, and this is where we are. I mean, anyway.
That poor man threw away an entire brilliant military career on a dung heap of a presidency.
Yeah.
I mean, I will never forget. I'll never forget him telling Congress, you know, with these blurry photos. Oh, this is not speculation. These are hard facts. These aluminum tubes, these mobile weapons labs, and they were nothing of the sort.
Well,
and kind of,
I knew it after a while. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so now we have a real war, a real existential threat that we didn't start, that we're not fighting in, but we are funding. And suddenly the lily-livered caucus has lost the stomach for the fight.
They, you know, it's their convenience. You know, they wanted the war because of the oil, let's face it, and all the, you know, BlackRock and Dick Cheney's Pee Wee Adventure over there and all that. So that's why they were... Oh, of course, now democracy is supporting people, and oh no, and they don't want that, so they're going to throw their lot in. You know what? Shame. No wonder that guy, no wonder Rand Paul's neighbor came over and beat the shit out of him to an inch of his freaking life. I mean, you know, this is who they are, man. I mean, oh God.
Yeah,
Gotta vote them out.
Yeah, and I mean, they have to be driven out. Every last square inch of Ukrainian territory must not have a Russian presence on it. And this is not to say that I want to see them humiliated, because a humiliated nation that still has some fight in them is a more dangerous nation. Cornered rats fight the hardest.
Yep.
But they have to leave. There is no other resolution. There is no resolution where you cede some Ukrainian, where Ukraine cedes some Ukrainian territory. And the Biden administration's gotten that right. They have said all along, when some multimillionaire for-profit media mouthpiece says, "Oh, Mr. President,
what would the conditions of peace be in Ukraine?
And Joe Biden gets it right every time, and he says, that is not for the United States to determine. That is for the people of Ukraine to determine. That is their land. It is their fight. It is their war. It is their country. It is their lives.
That's right.
Because we can't, you know, right. we can't risk this, the kind of dumbassery that Lloyd George and Clemenceau did after the First World War, and go carving up piece, you know, hunks of Europe and creating countries out of whole cloth that leave people pissed off for another generation until, you know, until somebody decides to want to march on Poland.
Yeah. Gotta vote them out.
Yeah.
It's gonna take.
I mean, I don't. But this is such a bizarre time, Kevin. Because, I mean, I think about. I mean, there are no more belligerent and bellicose people in this country than the people in the American South. At one point in time, it seemed like they had almost learned their lesson out of 1865, at least in terms of being loyal to the United States, and sent a lot of people, a lot of personnel to the United States military. I mean, my state, West Virginia, has sent more people to the United States military per capita than any other state in the Union.
Wow.
Because, you know, maybe it's some of what was his name? Jim Webb, the senator from Virginia, called, you know, born fighting, you know, that Scots-Irish. Is this a private fighter? Can anybody join in kind of thing? But now to see these pro, you know, I know your last name.
Yeah, no, I haven't traced it yet, Robin. My mom was half French, Canadian, and half Irish. My dad, I know he was Irish, obviously, Sheehan, but his grandmother's name, his mother's name was Nelson, so I have some Swedish in me, too.
Imagine my surprise when I found out I'm a little Swiss miss.
American Indian there somewhere, too.
In the case of the Swiss, you know, they will happily kick your ass for crossing their frontier. And it makes sense that they would wind up, you know, that one of the nicknames for West Virginia is Little Switzerland. And there's even a place here called Helvetia. But all kidding aside, it just boggles my mind now to see an entire region of the country that used to call people who didn't want to be in foreign adventures for no good reason commies and pinkos and panty wastes suddenly become the commie pinko panty waste region of the country. Right. And this played out in Iraq and Afghanistan. That went down, and kids came out of the hollers to jine up.
Oh yeah.
And now voters in Alabama look at Tommy the Tuber and say, well, if he feels like he need, you know, the little fetuses is worth destroying our military, at least the fetuses will be okay. What?
Yeah, that's,
huh?
Pathetic. Well, listen, I just pulled into the driveway, so I gotta head in.
It's great chatting with you. I hope maybe you can pop by for the front porch tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be around for the front porch.
Okay, good deal. Have a great evening. And by the way, thanks for your ongoing help, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
I couldn't be happier to support the Horn. This is a big part. You're a big part of my life, and we need you.
That touches me. Thank you.
We need you.
Yeah, this community is amazing. Thank you, Kevin. Have a wonderful evening.
It is. It is. All right. Take care.
Bye now.
All right.
Kevin up in Massachusetts. Now it does. It boggles my mind that the jokes you grow up with in the Deep South about the politician who was running for office in the years after the Civil War. This story is said to have been placed in Georgia. And the fellow was out on the hustings, and an old Confederate veteran confronted him and said, "Hey, back when the war started, you said we could beat them using sticks and stones, them Yankees." And the man, a politician now instead of a military man, said, "And you know what? I was right. Problem was, they insisted on using rifles." But that proud belligerence, and now it's just gone? I mean, I've gotten to the point where I kind of hate bringing up Marginal Trailer Queen, but the damn thing has achieved a degree. You know, she's no longer just a backbench boob. She has influence inside the maggot party. And she metamorphed into one of Craven McCarthy's biggest allies. And today she flipped her vote. They were going to advance the Pentagon appropriations bill, and she'd been yes previously on it, on the rule for it, talking about how the bill gets debated and how the House proceeds to a vote on it. She was yes on that on Tuesday. But when the squeaker of the mouse, Sylvie, that's just wonderful. When he brought it up again today, lo and behold, Marge voted no. And then she ran over to Shitter and posted a shit and said, "Our country's being invaded by the thousands every damn day, and our Department of Defense does nothing." Not for nothing, but she doesn't understand the Posse Comitatus Act at all. "Our defense bill should not fund our DOD for blood money for the Ukraine war. That's why I'm a no. What did we get out of Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan?" Funny thing is, I guarantee you, you know, what would she have been? In her 20s when we went into Iraq? She would have been one of those people standing there in an American flag t-shirt with a sign that said, "Get a brain, morons. Kill Iraq." So she, too, is part of the pinko sissy pacifist panty waist caucus now. And this was a massive humiliation for a man who's been living with humiliation since January of 2021. Craven McCarthy. Speaking to reporters, he said, "This is a whole new concept of individuals that just want to burn the whole place down." I can shorten that. McCarthy finds out he's leading a Republican caucus. Trailer Queen said, "The House bill includes $300 million for Ukraine, which I will not vote for. Cut spending and please the members that don't want to vote for Ukraine. Let's take out the $300 million for Ukraine and pass this otherwise great bill." Ninth Circle, Marge. Ninth Circle. According to Dante Alighieri, not that I expect you would ever have read The Inferno, not a great place to hang out. Oh, back to Colin Powell. George in Korskull says he was dishonorable way back in Vietnam when he helped cover up massacres like My Lai. This is true. It is true. So we are $25 away from meeting Kat's challenge. We are at the halfway point of the program. And we are in a sort of a desperate spot. We find ourselves this way at the middle of the month because that's when the damn bills come due. Besides the ones that come due at the first of the month and the ones that come due at the last of the month and the ones that come due at the two-thirds of the month. Crazy things like eating food and buying gasoline. Prescriptions and the like. Picked up my metformin today. $30. That was great. And one of these days, maybe health insurance. Probably won't cover prescriptions worth a damn, though. Nonetheless, if we could just finish off Kat's challenge, that would be tremendous. And meanwhile, let's go back over to the stress line, see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Robin.
Well, hey, Ken. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Other than the dread of the coming winter. So you and Darlene and you get that. And Blue Jays.
I love Blue Jays.
Yeah, I'm dreading winter in the fall. Well, I have a lot of hickory trees on my front property.
I bet you got a lot of squirrels.
Oh, yeah. I've got lots of squirrels and chipmunks. Squirrels prefer the acorns. So do deer, so. That's why I don't have any oak trees on my property, but both adjacent properties have oak trees, so I have to rake up the nuts, too. The acorns, too. Yeah, it's really fun.
Well, I imagine,
really.
You know, this the acorns, when you get right down to it, acorns are more accessible. You got to work harder to get into a hickory nut.
Oh, hell yeah. But they break up in 5 pieces.
Right, yeah.
So that's the issue. You got the shell, and it breaks up in 4, and then you get some nut. They're really good to eat, but that's a lot of work for a little payoff.
That's true, but no more so than a black walnut. Oh my God, those are just labor.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There used to be one, one adjacent properties. Got a lot of woods behind it, so there was one. I think it died, but black walnuts are good. The shells are toxic, right? So you need to wear gloves. Or you should wear gloves.
Well, did you, anyway, by the way, did you make your turkey sandwich with your Miracle Whip?
No, I don't have any turkey. That's kind of to me, it's more
that was just a jab.
And winter, so. Yeah, I know. I know. I like Miracle Whip. I'm sorry, but... I'm not sorry. I like it.
I saw sorry, you know, not sorry. Me. Right.
Exactly. People have different tastes. Same with music. Same with a myriad of other things.
You know, I saw an ad on TV the other day. Somebody has bought the right, and I can't remember what they were selling with it, but someone has bought the rights to use Black Sabbath's War Pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Ozzy shrieking, right. Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Yeah, only Black Sabbath could rhyme masses with masses and get away with it.
That's Ozzy. That's good old Purple Micro Dot days. Oh my god. Yeah, for sure. Been there, done that. But he's done way more than I have. But he's clean now, apparently. So, good for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's my understanding.
He's still trying. I don't particularly like his newer music, but Randy Rhoads.
I pretty much stopped at Blizzard of Oz because Randy Rhoads was a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, living proof of the adage: stay away from small aircraft.
Really? Now you make me afraid to fly. God damn it, Robin!
Well, small aircraft, little 2-seat Cessnas and things like that. Don't get all fucked up and go flying. I mean, if you know how Randy Rhoads died.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yep, I do.
Not quite the same as the big bop, the big bopper and Richie tragedy. Valens and
right.
Yeah, Buddy Holly, the day the music died.
Mm-hmm. Or how about Sonny Bono? Try out some skis and ski into a tree. Yikes. That's why I don't ski.
Yeah, I've generally shied away from things that could wind up with broken limbs because I've got a klutzy streak. There's a reason I was an English major. Sit quietly in a chair and read things. And even then, I got some truly mortifying paper cuts.
Yeah, I was a dumbass, so I did a lot of stupid shit and broke some stuff. Several sprains. I'm like the yeehaw high end. I'm sorry. I don't say Ohio. It's Ohio. O-O-O. Ohio. All right, Robin?
Yeah.
Can you do that? Okay. And then, the other thing was on my mind. You were talking about Ukraine. And I was lucky enough to train an apprentice toolmaker. Or two of them that emigrated from Ukraine. So they and I had some great conversations, but there was a stupid streak among the guys that call them Russians. Hey, well, let's get the Russian to do it. Like, well, that's what they do to apprentices, but they're not Russians. And he like, they took, a pretty massive offense to it. And I understood exactly where they're coming from. So that's how we became friends. We've lost touch, since then. That was a long time ago, but, generous, smart. Look, he can talk two languages. Or Alex was really close. Yikes. It's a different country. You're talking about your sovereignty. You're just going to give up some territory that you don't own? Wait. I'm confused. Say something, please.
Oh, by the way, I just got a note from John in Central PA. I started something. I don't know how this happens. I have no control over it. John says, didn't Steve Miller rhyme the word Texas with what the facts is? Yes, yes, he so did. But as brilliant as Randy Rhoads was, you have to appreciate Jake E. Lee's solo to Bark at the Moon. He fires off so many awesome licks in such a short time frame. He does. He does. He does.
I agree.
It's just that, you know, Crazy Train will always be peak Ozzy to me. But then, it's a rabbit hole, and I'm down it now.
Yeah.
Because once you mention the Steve Miller Band and Texas and what the facts is, my next step is going to the great misheard lyric from Big Old Jet Airliner. Again, Steve Miller Band. Bingo Jed had a light on. High quality. And, you know, even the Beatles were not immune. Someday Monkey, no play piano song, play piano song. And just last night, Flavio posted a song, and of course I don't know the language, and I was just watching the video, and the video made it look like a dude who was cheating on two women and wound up with neither of them. And lo and behold, just to show that, you know, sometimes the images don't match the lyrics, Flavio should, no, it's not what it means at all. Well, I'll be darned. It's all just fun.
It is.
I mean, I love misheard lyrics.
I fear CCR, once we go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, CCR singing, okay. Yeah, the bathroom's on the right.
Okay, yeah.
Top shelf. But since we've been talking about Fetterman Gate, Hoodie Gate, I don't know what we're, Decorum Gate. You have to put gate on the end of everything, you know. Thanks, Nixon.
What's the decorum mean? Doesn't it mean behavior, not dress?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, it's an umbrella term. It can be how we dress, how we behave, you know. But you're right, you know. And I don't care if a guy's wearing a morning coat with tails and white silk tie, if whilst wearing it he goes about the business of harming people, he might as well be carrying a club and wrapped in weasel skin.
Yeah, so Fetterman, he's like really tall, and you mentioned how hard it would be to dress. I can't find clothes either because I'm a short little shit. but I can feel that. I can imagine those suits probably cost thousands of dollars.
Well, God knows if you're having them made to fit, yeah.
Well, you would have to.
I mean, once upon a time, years and years ago, when I would be in D.C., we'd have some free time, go walking around downtown, and I walked into the shop that made suits for presidents.
Yeah, well,
holy crap.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No, I get it. It's horrible. But tiny little feet. I have to buy women's shoes.
Don't taunt me, okay? I'm just praying. I'm praying that my foot shrinks down to a women's 11, because that's the cutoff for cute shoes.
I did not mean it that way around.
No. It's okay. By the way, Matt in San Francisco wrote in, subject line Steve Miller. Like I said, I've started something. Matt says, for the longest time, I thought the lyric was "Big Old Jam at the Lighthouse," but in my defense, I was high for 7 years. then the one that astonished my friend, a buddy of mine and I were riding around in a car one day years ago, and Stevie Nicks' Edge of 17 came on. It was back when we still listened to things like radio. back when radio was worth listening to. And I started singing along to the lyric, and my buddy looked at me and said, "What did you just sing?" And I told him, and he absolutely fell apart. Because for all that time, years, a decade or more, I had thought that, and to my in my defense, Stevie Nicks is not the clearest enunciator of words. And so what I thought I was hearing, and it made sense in my little brain, what I thought I was hearing was, just like a one-winged dove makes a sound, sounds like she's saying, "Ooh, baby, ooh," said ooh. And it made sense to me. It made sense to me, Ken, because if I was a dove and I only had one wing, I'd have to think about how I lost the other wing, and it probably would hurt, and I probably would say, "Ooh, baby, ooh," said ooh. And it was only then that I found out that it was just like a white-winged dove.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it'd have to hurt, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I
think your evolutionary survivability would go down distinctly if you were a one-winged dove.
Yeah.
I don't know how you'd get off the ground.
Something's going to eat you.
But, I do, you know, we were talking yesterday about some... the occasional Democrat being really quite, you know, pushing back at these maggot pissants. And I got to give props to Angie Craig from Minnesota. Oh, wait a minute, Matt in San Francisco. Subject line: dove. That poor dove, ooing and. Ooing and spinning in circles. Yeah, she wouldn't be able to do anything but fly in circles. Waiting for the falcon or the hawk or an eagle or just a swoop. Oh!
Right.
Oh, my God. And Angie Craig of Minnesota apparently is a bit of a badass because... with the shutdown looming, she has introduced a piece of legislation in the House of Representatives. And it's actually, it won't go anywhere, but it is substantive. Because I don't know how many American people know that when the government shuts down, the members of Congress continue to get their paydays. Their staffers get screwed, get behind on their rent and things like that. The entire country suffers an economic loss, but those fuckers keep getting paid. And so putting her money where her mouth is, Representative Angie Craig introduced a bill that would stop pay to members of Congress too during a shutdown. And good for her. But the name is where the art is. The name of her bill is the "My Constituents Cannot Afford Rebellious Tantrums, Handle Your Shutdown Act." Now, if you take a minute, you'll find out that that spells McCarthy Shutdown Act. That's kind of brilliant. Somebody in her office must have sparked up a number and said, McCarthy. Or maybe it was a joint effort. Wait a minute. I didn't just say it was a joint effort. Somebody better award me a cowbell, quick.
I'll give it to
you. Well, thank you, Ken. It was a group effort. And my constituents cannot afford... Rebellious Tantrums, Handle Your Shutdown Act. And do you think withholding their paydays might make them a little bit more amenable to not shutting down the government? I mean, a lot of them are millionaires. They wouldn't miss it. But I still like it. In filing the bill, Representative Craig said, Speaker McCarthy and House Republicans are ready to shut down the federal government and put the livelihoods of working families at risk while still collecting a paycheck. Today, I'm introducing legislation to block member pay during McCarthy shutdown because it's ridiculous that we still get paid while folks like TSA workers are asked to work without a paycheck. You know, because this doesn't just touch Washington. It touches the entire country. Those folks in the dark slacks and the blue shirts wearing the nitrile gloves, standing there by the magnetometers in the airport, literally work for free. They get the money back later whenever the shutdown ends.
Didn't we used to call that slavery?
I'm sorry, what?
Didn't we used to call it slavery?
Indentured servitude, at the very least.
Yeah.
You know, with an IOU. Okay.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, the federal government, you know,
yeah.
Republicans like to create this impression that the federal government is something that, you know, sits like a hulking behemoth in Washington, D.C. But, in fact, it's all over the country. And as such, Angie Craig is right. Working families all over the country will pay for the obstinacy and the tantrums of a handful of right-wing asshats who were sent to the Congress by a constituency that likes to see people suffer. Oh, and by the way, back to the Blue Jays for a minute. Darlene has a note for you, Ken. Ah, dear Ken.
Okay.
The Blue Jays had already made an appearance in large numbers in August. And this morning, I had to break my rule of not turning on the heat until mid to late October. It was freaking cold in my house, so the heat went on for several minutes to warm things up a few degrees. An early happy damned autumn to you and Robin. Happy damned autumn, Darlene. Everything's dying. But God, these last days of summer have been magic here. They've been beautiful. The sky, the sky has looked like a gemstone. And just,
yeah, so your leaves were changing. No, I love Darlene. I'm gonna push shrug Jerry aside, and I've always had a crush on Darlene.
Oh, now
she's funny, and
this is not love line. Now quit it. Oh no, her laugh is magic.
I know it is a love line.
Her laugh is magic.
Now we're all friends here. We're all brothers.
Oh no. Listen, nobody is above this sort of thing. Like I said. I remember early on when I started listening to Malloy when I was still living in Atlanta. Of course, he was broadcasting to an Atlanta audience, and it was a large audience. And he used to do a thing from time to time that was absolutely delightful called Dateless and Desperate. And truth seekers who lived in Atlanta would call in and sort of, you know, self-sorting. And so the show would then send them on a date. And then they'd come back and that was, you know, that was reality TV before reality TV even existed, and it wasn't even TV, it was radio.
Yeah, reality radio.
And I was talking with Malloy about it, and I said, are there any tapes of those old days? And he said, I don't think so, and I would give anything to have them. Because they were radio magic. They were absolutely wonderful. So, yeah, it's not like, okay, so. You've probably given Darlene a little ego boost. So.
No, she's freaking awesome.
Oh, this entire community is awesome.
Yeah. You built it, and we built it. We got drawn to you, so I think you built it. Like planets draw around a star. You're a big math, and don't take that the wrong way.
No, of course not. No. Suman with a question out in Arizona, Stan. magical summer? Am I the only fool pulling up my weather app first thing in the morning wondering when we'll get off the 100s? My colleague was complaining of cold weather in South Carolina this morning. Torture. Oh, yeah, well, I talk to Miss Terry every couple of days, and she's like, well, it is finally down around 90 degrees here. That's more like it. That must be a little bit like what you're going through, Suman.
Oh, sorry, Suman. I really hate to brag, but climate change it's been very cool these last couple summers. You know, almost where it's cold. I'm a blood thinner, so I'm kind of cold all the time. And I can't stand the heat. But, yeah, it's been so nice here. Like, holy shit. It's beautiful. I don't think there's been a few days where it's past 80. Like, which is... it's completely different. It's topsy-turvy, but there's a heat bubble, and then there's another bubble, kind of like that Venn diagram, where you record this summer, this kind of area, it's going to be rainforest. Well, anyway, the whole climate change Sahara is going to be a tropical rainforest, and couple thousand years?
Well, several thousands of years ago, the Sahara Desert was actually a grass-covered wetland plain.
Yeah, didn't you say that Garden of Eden was like around Iran?
A couple days ago. Pretty much, yeah. There was never a Garden of Eden, but if there was, it was probably somewhere in Persia. Because at that point in time, the people who wrote the Bible were still fighting, you know, with the vultures for what the wolves didn't want.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, that's horrifying. What a barbaric.
Don't get me started. Then there's Mohenjo-Daro and the whole Harappan civilization. We still don't understand why it disappeared, but... All you have to do is look at the behavior of the Indus River and you begin to go, oh, wait, maybe. And, you know, between floods and droughts and, you know, the first attempts at cities were not terribly successful. Darlene says, I'm blushing. Thank you, Ken. And Emilio jumping in. Darlene's smart and she always has something that's interesting or worth hearing about.
Oh yeah,
and that's the thing, you know, it's people bringing their A games,
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, sometimes as often as not, I feel dumb, and with the things that y'all bring to the conversation. No, I love that.
You know,
that's not a bad feeling.
Tell them that's a good C-clamp because, you know, you're brilliant.
Nah, stop that.
You're
stop
brilliant.
That right.
That's why I
no, stop that. Stop that right now. that's unbearable. Ken, you have yourself a good evening. Don't get too mad at the Blue Jays, okay?
Okay.
And we will talk soon.
We'll talk soon, maybe tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, pop by the front porch.
Thanks, my voice.
Okay. See ya.
Okay.
Bye.
Love.
And maybe it was Suman. Mohenjo-Daro migration. I thought this was proven. First the massive floods, and then the long drought and the drying up of the river. That was always my understanding. But the lack of, you know, it's still somewhat speculative, you know, because there's no written records or anything. I remember studying archaeology in college and just being two civilizations absolutely fascinated. Well, three. Lots. But the Harappan civilization and the Minoan civilization. And, you know, we're still... I can never remember which of their two written languages we haven't deciphered yet. It's either Linear A or Linear B. But the massive explosion of the volcano at Thera that just completely did in Minoan civilization, and then the Mycenaeans come in and it's gone. You know, the Phoenicians, maybe? Or the Philistines? Because they had this vast network, and then the massive invasion of Egypt. And there's a thing culturally out there right now, and I couldn't help but sort of I clicked on it, too. And it's another one of those pieces of idiocy that arises over at TikTok, and I don't trust any cultural trends that arise at TikTok. But now it involves, and the videos I've seen, it involves women turning on their TikTok cameras, or the cameras on TikTok, whatever. I'm old. And asking their husband, boyfriend, fiancé, partner, whatever, how often do you think of the Roman Empire? And as far as I can understand, it's supposed to, because there's always some sexism wrapped into all of this silliness, it's supposed to indicate that there's something about being a guy that makes guys think about the Roman Empire. Now, this sounds nuttier than Ken's backyard with all those hickory nuts and acorns. But curiously enough, that it became a trend, and obviously, every day, all the time. And it kind of gave me a little dysphoria. Because I do a lot. Anybody who listens to this program, no, oh, God, there she goes. She's going to talk. And the times of the ancient Rome. I mean, I've already done ancient Greece and the Minoans and the... But that's because I was schooled in this stuff. And it captured my attention. You know, ask me how many times a day I think of the Mexica Empire. And that'll as often as not be more. And frankly, I don't think about the Roman Empire so much. I don't think the Roman Empire is particularly interesting. There's some great literature that comes out of it. But the fascinating part of the ancient world for me is seeing how efforts at representative government rose and fell, succeeded for a time and then failed. And so, no, I don't think about the Roman Empire. I think about the Roman Republic. And part of that, in turn, is because the framers of the Constitution and the white guy enslaving people who founded this idea, the rich people who didn't want to pay their taxes that the mother country had spent in defending them from the French and hostile indigenous people who didn't cotton to having their land stolen from them. Well, I mean, that's the real story of the 4th of July and the Boston Tea Party. A bunch of recalcitrant, rich white men who were looking out for number one, and number one was rich white men. Yeah, They were practically moved to tears by Cato the Younger, that weirdo. And they thought Caesar, Gaius Julius Caesar, was a horrible dick. It was a horrible autocratic yada yada yada. When in fact they read it entirely wrong. They thought Cicero was a great proponent of democracy. You couldn't get that much wronger. And so they modeled this government in part on Roman notions. They even named the upper chamber of the legislative branch the Senatus. Again, gentle reminder, which comes from a Latin root meaning so old they fart dust. That's true. Matt in San Francisco says, Tara Devlin talks about ancient Greece all the time. Oh, she and I nerd out bad on the classical world. And in fact, we've been talking for years now about how much fun it would be to, like, pull a tour group together and do, like, a week in Rome and a week in Athens. And, in fact, over the several years ago, I was talking with Chris in Germany about how much fun it would be to see if on March the 15th some year we could get some sort of special dispensation to meet up at the Temple of Vesta in the Forum at the ruins of the Domus Publica. And walk from there to where the ruins, there are still the ruins of the Theater of Pompey, which is where Caesar was murdered. It's kind of the ancient world equivalent of people who are fascinated with going to the Texas Book Depository and the Grassy Knoll in Dallas. Because it's one of those places where the world changed profoundly. And it might be doable at some point. But again, coming back to sort of the common theme of the program this evening, not until Italy gets over its fascist spasm because Italy is bad and getting worse. We were talking a little bit ago about how climate change affected and made worse the flooding in Libya. An Associated Press article says that an analysis was released on Tuesday that showed that the flooding in Libya was 50 times more likely to happen and 50% more intense because of anthropomorphic, and I can use that big word with our community, the Associated Press had to say, human-caused climate change. The World Weather Attribution Group released the report, and their purpose is to evaluate as quickly as possible how climate change affects extreme weather events. But they were pretty fair about it, the World Weather Attribution Group. They also noted that massive deforestation and urbanization in Greece transformed the landscape such that more people would be exposed to flooding, that conflict in Libya led to an inability to perform proper maintenance on dams and communications infrastructure. They went on to say the dams may not have even been designed to deal with rainfall of that intensity. It is, after all, Libya. The Netherlands plays host to the Red Cross Red Crescent Climate Center, and Maya Valberg said, through these events, we are already seeing how climate change and human factors can combine to create compounding and cascading impact. And this sort of goes back to what Suman and I were discussing via his email about the demise of Harappan civilization in Mohenjo-Daro. Things like this can have devastating impacts, and I still maintain that we really don't have a grasp on just how awful this is, because these things happen in somewhat isolated circumstances. You know, it's Libya, it's Greece, or it's Burning Man. But if you're not in Libya, if you're not in Greece, if you're not at Burning Man, if you're not in L.A. during the hurricane, you tend to go, well, I'll be damned. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, anthropogenic. Thank you, Flavio. Not anthropomorphic. I was thinking I was all smart and stuff. Flavio's always there. Thank you, Flavio. Anthropogenic. I kind of knew I was wrong, but I went ahead anyway. Anthropomorphic is when we apply human traits to non-human things. But anyway, these things are going to continue to happen. Some people on this planet are making it worse than others. Claire across the pond was pointing out the awfulness of their right-wing Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who is an incredibly rich man, who apparently hasn't figured out that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses, you know, when his time comes. And so he's got his, and I guess he thinks he'll live in some sort of bubble when the Gulf Stream peters out and Britain and Ireland, Scotland, Scandinavia, and the Western and Western Europe become vastly colder than they are. Now, remember, Germany's on the same latitude, roughly, as Alaska. But there is little doubt among anybody who's actually serious about what happened in Libya, what happened in Greece, that climate change played a horrifying role. You know, flooding in Istanbul. The storm that dumped on the Libyan coast went on for days, and then the weather system went across the Mediterranean and dumped ungodly amounts of rain on Istanbul. Looking at a photograph right now of a man in much more tasteful boots than Ron Monkey Up Declantis wears. Yeah, muck boots, scraping mud out of the streets with the dome of what appears to be Hagia Sophia in the background. And so what the Weather Attribution Group says is that maybe we should assume that storms will be this bad in the future, because that's probably what's going to happen, and just based on the fundamental physics that a warmer atmosphere can hold more water vapor, and we have to be prepared for it. Thessaly inundated in September 7th. On and on and on. But, well, I think there's a whole lot of eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die in the human response to it. You know, everyday people who are just trying to survive And you know, that's the way that brutalist capitalism works. Keep people terrified and focused on what's right in front of them, and don't give them a chance to realize that they can play a role in making the world at least a little bit better. Keep your head down. That's the central operating tenet of fascism. How about that? Matt says, climate change. When the sky's orange and the smoke from the fires block out the sun, it really brings it all home, so to speak. Yeah. Kind of would have to. But the problem remains, Matt, that people elsewhere go, how about that? I mean, the fires this summer, and I think that may be why we had a cooler, perhaps wetter summer here in Appalachia. We didn't experience anything that the the fact that Canada was on fire, and that I could, you know, we could taste the smoke in our mouths. Nonetheless, try explaining to a coal miner that Canada, you know, a lot of Canada was on fire because of the fact that we've relentlessly burned hydrocarbons since the 1840s, the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution in Britain and then the United States. And he will be absolutely unable to comprehend it, because again, it's hard to get someone to understand something when his paycheck depends upon him not understanding it. Okay, Ralphs, you're not wrong. No, Robin. Rishi Sunak won't have to worry, because he'll just take a ride on Leon Scum's big old dick rocket. Fly away to the beach house on Mars. Yeah. I wish that didn't make as much sense as it does to me, Ralph. I do. Emilio, don't feel bad, Robin. If it makes you feel better, anthropomorphic characterizations are anthropogenic in nature. Oh, now you're just trying to make my head hurt. So we are well into the third hour of the program in a desperate struggle to find $25 to finish off Cat's challenge from the beginning of the program. Remember, Cat said it's the threats to public servants challenge. They really need to work harder to hunt down these people to stop this crap. This should be high priority. I agree entirely. Thank you again for the challenge, Kat, and thank you to those of you who have responded to get us to $25 to go. Thank you so much. PayPal buttons at headon.live. Oh, and by the way, speaking of buttons, mash the living be Jesus out of that like button when you're listening to the podcast, please. Hit the subscribe, leave a comment on the program. Wherever you listen, whether it's Podbean or Apple Podcasts or any of that. Had some problems uploading to WhiteRoseSociety.org last night, so that's why the program did not show up there. My apologies. But it always goes up at Podbean, and if you subscribe, you will be notified. And you can get a direct link to it always on my Facebook page. Oh, by the way, did I mention this? Because he really is a derpy Batman villain. Leon Scum has declared that somewhere in the near future, everyone, you know, because at first he started out and said, we're going to sell the blue check mark now. And some people lined up to buy the blue check mark. The blue check mark was harder to get. It was downright a pain in the ass, and that's why I never got one in pre-Scum Twitter. So now everybody is going to have to pay to be on that platform. So at some point in the near future, I will be disappearing from shitter, and probably going to, oh, what was the name? Was it Mastodon? And I need to get to where I'm posting there and reading there. Maybe on Threads, I don't know. Blue Sky. I'm on Blue Sky, too. If you are on Blue Sky, I'm Robin Rocks, R-O-B-Y-N-R-O-X, robinrocks.bsky.social. And I haven't even finished setting up my profile. But I will. The time is coming. So, yeah, because I absolutely refuse to put a penny in Leon Scum's pocket. There are some things up with which I will not put. Everyone but the big twit, Randy Radar says, will be plugging the oxygen meter with costly tokens for all that they're worth on Mars. Oh, no, he's just going to make it. Yeah, no, he's going to grow an oxygen atmosphere. And it'll be a libertarian wonderland. But, yeah, he'll probably charge for it. And then build a Martian. You know, go read Kurt Vonnegut's Sirens of Titan. And, you know, people will be marching around with a drum inside their heads and playing German bat ball. God, I love Vonnegut. Ralph says, come on, people, don't make me sick Kayla on you. You do not want Kayla on you. Oh, those little claws are like scalpels. And it is Thursday, so that means we have the Green News Report from Brad and Desi. So I think I'll fire that up and see what those wacky kids are up to. And then come back and, maybe a call, who knows? Stress lines open, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And an interesting little story about the future plans of some of your more prominent maggots out there in the Congress. It'll be fun. What's up, y'all? Brad, Desi.
It's Thursday, September 21, 2023.
We must phase out coal, oil, and gas in a fair and equitable way and massively boost renewables.
World nations grapple with climate change at UN General Assembly.
We will use our energy dominance to deny our enemies revenue.
DeSantis vows to unleash fossil fuels while downplaying climate change.
This is not about the politics. This is about doing what's right for the country in the long term.
Conservative UK Prime Minister weakens Britain's climate policies. Plus, President Biden launches the first ever American Climate Corps.
All of those launches and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The future is not fixed.
Right. It's broken. We're kind of hoping you guys might help fix it. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, summer is wrapping up here in the U.S. A long, cruel summer. It's just getting started in Australia, but I understand things are not looking good down under already.
No, unfortunately, Australia is dealing with a scorcher. A spring heat wave is shattering records with temperatures 20 to 25 degrees hotter than average and putting dozens of runners in the Sydney Marathon in the hospital for heat exhaustion this week. In politics, in a Texas oil field on Wednesday, Republican 2024 presidential candidate and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis downplayed climate change in unveiling his energy agenda, vowing to withdraw the United States from global climate pacts end the U.S. commitment to reach net zero greenhouse gas emissions, expand extraction of fossil fuels on the public's lands, and slash federal regulations on pollution and conservation to boost domestic fossil fuel production.
He did that in the middle of an oil field.
Yep. DeSantis also said that as president, he'd bring gas prices down to $2 a gallon, a difficult prospect given that oil prices are set on the global market. In international diplomacy, at the United Nations General Assembly underway in New York, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned that current government actions to cut dangerous climate warming emissions are, quote, falling abysmally short, even as the world just had a rash of deadly extreme weather disasters and its hottest summer on record. Guterres called on nations to enact key steps, like ending billions in annual subsidies for fossil fuels, implementing a price on carbon, and assisting developing countries with adaptation and mitigation projects. Guterres targeted wealthy, high-emitting countries and their obligations to address the crisis they created.
G20 countries are responsible for 80% of greenhouse emissions. They must lead. They must break their addiction to fossil fuels. To stand a fighting chance of limiting global temperature rise, we must phase out coal, oil, and gas in a fair and equitable way and massively boost renewables.
Yeah, but here was my favorite comment from Guterres.
Humanity has opened the gates of hell.
Yeah, I think he's got it about right.
President Biden addressed the UN on Tuesday, focusing on deadly extreme weather disasters around the world, and highlighted the surge in historic U.S. climate actions under his administration. From new funding to assist developing countries to adapt to climate impacts and transition to new energy, and new policies under the Democrats' landmark climate law, the Inflation Reduction Act.
Last year, I signed into law in the United States the largest investment ever anywhere in the history of the world to combat the climate crisis and help move the global economy toward a clean energy future. But we need more investment from public and private sector alike, especially in places that have contributed so little to global emissions but face some of the worst effects of climate change.
In the UK, Conservative Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who was not at the UN summit, this week backtracked on the UK's successful climate policies. He rolled back a 2030 ban on gas and diesel cars to 2035 and rolled back upgrading energy efficiency projects and transitioning to electric heat pumps. UK climate scientists said the rollback puts the country's legally binding 2050 net zero target in jeopardy, and energy experts said it will prolong the UK's dependence on fossil fuels and damage its growing clean energy industries.
What the hell is he thinking?
That's an excellent question.
Thank you.
And finally, good news for America. President Biden used his executive authority to create the first ever American Climate Corps, a paid green jobs training and service program for young adults modeled after the Depression-era Civilian Conservation Corps. A key goal of youth climate campaigners, the Climate Corps will employ more than 20,000 young adults to build projects in clean energy, conservation, and climate resilience, like restoring coastal wetlands, wildfire prevention, and building out solar and wind projects.
Very, very cool.
Yes.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And it just might be the prettiest thing you'll ever see. Well, it's a new day. Oh, baby, it's a new day.
You know, I loved... I didn't... Sorry, I'm walking on their bumper. That's a delicate balancing act. Thanks for the photo of Kayla. Ralphs, thank you. Such a sweet kitty. Lounging on a box beneath Ralph's desk. Those eyes.
Who, me?
What? My mom. And a beautiful and yet disturbing photograph courtesy of Jude. The sun rising at 7:30 a.m. 3 weeks ago there in Jude's neck of the woods. Manifesting the fires my state was experiencing, thousands of acres destroyed. Yes, I too, Robin, could literally taste the substance within the smoke. Life moves on for this woman, complicated yet manageable. I find that the personal relationships are an aspect of saving grace. Connecting with trusted friends always lightens the load. It does. It does, Jude. It does. And thanks for that reminder. You know, in the Green News report there, Brad and Desi asked, what was Rishi Sunak thinking? And I know the answer. Oh, by Jove! Rolling these standards back will be great for my portfolio, for I'm filthy fucking rich. That's what he was thinking. But I did want to point out that I love the story of the Clean Energy Corps, modeled, as Brad and Desi pointed out, on the Civilian Conservation Corps. Of FDR's administration. I can't tell you how many times over the course of the 20 years, almost 20 years that this program's been on the air, and of times even before that, where people, you know, generally liberal, progressive people, you know, what we need is a WPA and a CCC to get people, you know, to get people to work and rebuild needed infrastructure. You know, I don't have to drive 3 miles to get down to a state park that is just beautiful, and it's all there because of the CCC. And the creation of this new program by the Biden administration is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it will create jobs. And it will teach younger workers how to have meaningful careers inside a clean energy economy. But I haven't seen a lot of talk about it in the multimillionaire for-profit media. But I have heard the continuing drumbeat of the Democrats are going to have to come to grips with how goddamned old Joe Biden is. Well, how young was Barack Obama? Did he create that? No. How young was Bill Clinton? No. And it's not just because I'm an old now, too. It's because when people are doing a good job, and Joe Biden is doing a good, great job, it almost feels like something deliberate. You know, on the maggot side, It's deflection. They're trying to deflect from the obvious inabilities and limitations and various and sundry pathologies of their orange god emperor. But I do not understand what is happening on our side. I don't understand where this Biden's too old bullshit is coming from. I haven't run across any tell-all stories of him flinging ketchup at the walls. Have you? And meanwhile, maybe because he's got a little bit more perspective than somebody who thinks that history started the day they were born, maybe he could reach back into memory and go, huh, maybe we need something kind of modeled on the CCC. And I'm just Well, I'm sick of it. And I have no patience for it. I mean, who would Democrats wave their magic wand and make a viable contender for the presidency other than our incumbent? How about Bernie? Oh. And that's not me hating on Bernie. Bernie is fully on board with the re-election of Joseph Robinette Biden III. But who? You know, Gavin Newsom doesn't seem to have that Cassius has a lean and hungry look about him of a dagger man. I'm with Matt and what Matt said last night about Kamala. If she were the nominee in 2024, I would be four square behind her. But I think she's also a loyalist. I don't think she's got a dagger hidden in the sinus of her toga. How often do you think of the Roman Empire, Robin? I don't think she's got a dagger tucked away in the sinus of her toga, ready to slip it between President Biden's ribs. Who else? I mean, there are some good young Dems out there. But why in God's name would you get in a leaky boat when you've got a boat that is perfectly seaworthy to sail toward 2028? I'm not trying to start a fight or anything. But if there's somebody out there that you just think is the bee's knees as a potential Democratic presidential nominee, tell me. I mean, watching the California Senate race, Adam Schiff would be fine as the junior senator from California, but I really want Katie Porter. She has a brilliance and a vibe that I think would work fantastically in the Senate. I think, you know, she'd have to earn some seniority because, you know, they haze the freshmen. There's a beanie you have to wear, and there's all that decorum to learn. You know, how to be nice to Joe Manchin when he invites you to one of his barbecues on one of his yachts. Emilio. RFK and Jill Stein can win, Kincaid. Neo-liberal establishment shill. Okay, it's been a while since I've been called a neoliberal establishment shill, so you get that. Billable Rick just gave me a cowbell. Cowbell for you. I'm walking on their bumper. It's a delicate balancing act. Thank you. No, Randy Radar. I mean, I love Sheldon Whitehouse, but I don't think he's got any presidential ambitions at the moment. He's kind of laser beam focused on trying to uncorrupt the Supreme Court of the United States. I can't think of any senators that just fill me with fervor. Maybe down the road, Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, big fangirl for her. And she knows how to handle right wing assholes. Josh Shapiro out of PA. And again, I'm not hearing any rumblings about any of these people. And I want to know. I want to know who it is that the David Ignatiuses of the world think would do so much better a job than Joe Biden. He worked for this. Stop trying to undermine him. Not y'all. It almost seems like it's troll behavior, frankly. Oh, and back to the do you think about Rome thing. Jessica writes in from the Greater Rochester Metropolitan Co-Prosperity Sphere. Susan asked me that question about the Roman Empire. Yes, I think about it frequently, and daily wouldn't be a stretch. For me, it's not just the comparisons one can draw between the U.S. and Rome, but besides being a historian, or so I'd like to think I can call myself one, as I have a worthless piece of parchment that says I am. It is not worthless, Jessica. You work your Scandinavian butt off for that. But my architectural training and love of popular culture, both having been heavily influenced by Greco-Roman mythology and design. So yes, I frequently think about the Roman Empire. A not-so-deep response from a ditzy blonde. And no, don't tell me I have anything resembling intelligence, because if I was as smart as people tried to tell me I am, I wouldn't have been working low-wage, dead-end jobs and would have made something out of my life. Girl, brainworms, quit it. Financial success is no measure of intellect. I kind of wish it was. I wish we had more of a meritocracy. Hell, I wouldn't be sitting here sweating $25 to match a challenge that would get us halfway to being able to pay one bill. If this was a meritocracy, I'd be talking for 40 minutes out of every 60-minute hour, and the other 20 minutes would be advertising. And I'd be saying things like, with half my brain tied behind my back and talent on loan from God. Oh, God, that was gross. So, no, I get to tell you not to sell yourself short, Jessica. Trust me, I'm nowhere near the caliber of you or the majority of the Horn family congregation. Also, another untrue statement. You wouldn't be listening to this program otherwise. Because this program is, you know, it's always going to be kind of niche. Because it requires something of all of us in the community. It requires curiosity. The ability to analyze. Compare and contrast. Make analogies and metaphors and similes and knowing the difference. Pretty much guarantee you none of that's going on over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda with Greg Gutfeld. Speaking of which, well now, Rupi has said he's stepping down as the head of Fox News and News Corp. And that just kind of came out of the blue today. Got to be something behind it. But it got me to thinking. Rupert Murdoch of Australia has probably done more damage to the body politic of the United States of America than Joseph Stalin, Chairman Mao, Ho Chi Minh, Fidel Castro, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, Bin Laden, ISIS, combined. He's neck and he's probably neck and neck, and maybe and you know maybe a fetlock in the lead of Vladimir fucking Putin. All these godforsaken maggots out there throwing hissies. About the migrants at the southern border invading the United States. Not one of the people trying to enter this country and survive will ever do the harm to this country that Rupert goddamn motherfucking Murdoch has done. He completely trashed the idea of objective journalism in favor of propaganda. He dialed down any notion of civic collegiality. He pitted American against American. I kind of wish this was an obituary and not just an announcement of him stepping down. And again, maybe he's got something loathsome. Of course he has something loathsome. He has Fox News. A cancer that has grown and metastasized across this country from the first word they broadcast. An entire institution that was fueled by and ran on misogyny, sexual abuse, sexual assault, addiction, privilege, elitism, toxic religion, and the only thing I wonder about, and it's probably fruitless, I wonder if with his departure, will anything better come out of it? And I did, come on, Robin, sweet summer child. No, of course not. His successor will probably be Lachlan Murdoch. You know, I can't help thinking we need a stronger deportation system in this country. I would much rather be shed of the Murdochs and the Musks than a million immigrants from Venezuela or Honduras or Nicaragua or El Salvador or Mexico, Guatemala. Because those people will actually become people who will probably love America passionately. If America will even give them the most minimal degree of respect. But for the Murdochs and the Musks, America is a body to be pecked at. Flesh torn at. And the day we allowed Rupert Murdoch to own jack shit in this country, someday, when they're writing the history of this nation once upon a time, some historian will point and say, you know, it's not like they were given poison. They took the poison willingly. Am I wrong? But then again, this is a capitalist country, and dividing America is, in the words of the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, a good dollar. Don't worry, Darlene says. Nancy said on MSNBC's Jonathan Capehart show this past weekend that the Biden-Harris ticket is set. No debate. Good. You know, let rotted FK run around talking about the COVID vaccine. You know, did you see the story? Apparently, and you know, it's something that exists. A lot of us have trace amounts of Neanderthal DNA. It turns out that Annette and I both have higher than average amounts of Neanderthal DNA. Funny how that works out. But a science study said that there is a remnant piece of Neanderthal DNA on a gene that makes those people more susceptible to COVID. Now, my mind working the way my mind works, the first place it went was, wow, wonder when rotted FK is going to come out and say that vaccines are why the Neanderthals died out. Nah, the reason the Neanderthals died out, I think, is probably because we ate them. You know, the ones we didn't have sexy time with. Turns out we could cross-pollinate. What's better than Joe? Matt in San Francisco says, sometimes I think our strengths work against us. Our side looks at the situation and says, how can we make this better? We seem to have a problem looking around and saying, well, it's not perfect, but we're moving in the right direction. Looking for someone other than Joe seems unwise at this point. We already know he can beat Trump. He's achieved a lot of stuff in an environment that is downright hostile to any progress whatsoever. So right now, given the previous 4 years of foolfuckery, Putin, and fascism on the march, maybe we should not be looking for a four-shot soy latte with extra foam and a dash of chocolate and just be happy with an old-fashioned cup of Joe. Oh, Matt! Biggest cowbell of the night. See, what did I say about brilliant analogies? And similes and metaphors. Four-shot soy latte with extra foam with a dash of chocolate. Well, here soon we're going to have a Starbucks, and I might actually be able to look at someone and order one of those. Or maybe serve one up. Actually thinking about putting in an application, you know, work 6 to noon and come home, catch a quick nap, and then get behind the microphone and have health care. Really good health care, by the way. But, Matt, that's so right, you know, and it harkens back, Matt, to what, you know, what has been said so many times. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And I just, if you haven't read the David Ignatius thing, read it. And maybe just put into a browser, David Ignatius, Ignatius, Biden too old. It'll probably pop the thing. The article. And read it. I've come to the conclusion it was just trolling. It was trolling for clicks and views and invites onto TV news programs. Darlene in Connecticut said, yeah, add to that list Ayn Rand, you know, the wish they'd been deported list. I mean, the Nixon administration tried to deport John Lennon. And we can't even talk about deporting a man who supplanted his own judgment in place of American foreign policy? Jesus. Ralph tells me Steve Schmidt had a YouTube podcast about Rupert and Lachlan today. Maybe I'll check that out after the program. And just, like I said, bringing things back around to what we were talking about at the beginning. You know how my mind works. And when I saw Jerk Deluxe Vance and those other miserable betrayers with their stupid letter, well, because once upon a time, West Virginia University gave me a degree in English, and I spent a glorious semester with a wonderful professor in Shakespeare. When I saw them showing that they were gutless in the face of the march of global fascism, I thought again of the St. Crispin's Day speech in Shakespeare's Henry V. Proclaim it through my host, that he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. For he that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when the day is named, and rouse him at the name of Crispin. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispin. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. What did you do when democracy was under threat from global fascism, Grandpa Jerk Deluxe?
Well, I sat around with my thumb up my ass and pissed and moaned about how we were spending money defending democracy. And, well, you can see the map of Europe now, young'un.
Cowards. They're not even being asked to fight, and they are too cowardly to support the people who are. A pox on them. And so as we roll down to the end of the program, I'll have to save the story about the ambitions of maggot caucus, feedum carcass types. Maybe we'll get to that on Friday on the front porch tomorrow. But tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, oh dear, Shakespeare. Tomorrow, and I guess I'm speaking to North America and the Western Hemisphere, right? The Northern and Western Hemisphere. Tomorrow is the final day of summer. That's it. If you are in basically North America, cherish it. For it will not be long until we are grieving its end. Unless you're in Arizona or the Deep South, where you'll be, whew, this is nice. Might be time for me to invest in that French fry lamp. All right, that's it. That is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and what a bunch of thorns it's been. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for getting us $75 toward Kat's challenge. Thank you, Kat. If anybody would like to finish that off, that'd be great, so we can double the, you know, that $25 turns into $200. Thank you. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, like and subscribe to each and every episode of the podcast, please. Leave a comment for the algorithms and maybe other people to see. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Make plans to get your booster. Get your flu shot. Maybe get your RSV vaccine if you are in one of the groups that are susceptible. There's more than cold weather that stalks us in the winter. Wear your mask, whether you're around the maggots or not, but especially around the maggots. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse, maintain your social distance. And if a crotchety old billionaire looks at you on the street and says, "Hey, that's it. I'm stepping down. My work here is done. I've destroyed America." Avoid Rupert Murdoch like the plague, because from the minute he entered this country, he has been. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Love you, Wayne. Later.